What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast wondering if champagne actually ever does get put on ice. Coming up, tractors roll over canaries in Old Farm Derby bloodbath. Big wins and bigger defeats in the battle at the bottom of the championship. There's hatters on hatters action at Wembley as Wilshire wears the top hat. And Fuchs in heaven, Harrogate in hell. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And we are back with you in our Monday slot, which is kind of semi-regular, I suppose. The Football League season winding down now, but the pressure ratcheting up. We're here to look back on the best of the weekend's action. I've got Adrian Clark alongside me. Very pleased to be talking about the Football League and not the Premier League, no doubt, this Monday morning.
I do not like the Premier League anymore. But yes, I'm well up for today. It's all good.
Well, look, at least we're going to have Spurs to talk about next season on the pod, it looks like. Sam Barkin's back with us too. You okay, Sam?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I've recovered. It would have been nice for Clarkie, wouldn't it, to have had a handsome victory for Arsenal after the depths of despair at the Hawthorns on Friday night. But they couldn't even do that for him. But I've been picked up by the Masters because I sat through Coventry nil, Sheffield Wednesday nil, which was awful. I looked at the producer and just said, let's never speak of these 2 hours ever again, and wandered off to my car.
Yeah, I've had a few of those toward the back end of the season.
But they're allowed it. They're allowed it. And Wednesday did well, in fairness. We're not going to talk about it, but credit to them, because I'm sure I've been in teams that have very much chucked it at this stage of the season in that type of predicament.
So Coventry not quite up, but they can rubber stamp their inevitable promotion at Blackburn on Friday night. Right, before we get into the championship chat proper, let me remind you our partners Quinbet have an offer where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+, and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. You'll find a link to that offer in the show description. Okay, we are going to head into the championship. And we'll start with a big victory for Ipswich. 33 years since they last managed it. They've done the double over Norwich. McKenna's men trumping Phil's folk at Carrow Road, thanks to first half goals from Jaden Philogene and George Hurst. Their first win at Carrow Road in 20 years puts them back up to second, 2 points clear of Millwall, 3 ahead of Borough, and they've got games in hand on both of them. Pretty much a perfect day then, Adrian, for one of your other concerns.
Yeah, look, I was officially a junior blue, so you know you can't mock me for this. I genuinely was born.
Clarkie's more fondly remembered than me in East Anglia.
Suffolk schools. Yeah, that was my heyday. I don't think I ever got better than that. Anyway, this was a great win, wasn't it? I mean, but it comes from a fortuitous place, doesn't it? I mean, with the decision, it's never a pen, is it? It's, you know, goals change games, of course, and this was farcical, really, in regards to how long the referee took, and then of course, you know, how I think he got it wrong. That said, a fantastic calm penalty from Jaden Philogene. Look, I think Kieran McKenna has kind of almost taken the mick, isn't he? I mean, he didn't even start Jack Clark. Casey McAteer had a bit of a blinder the other day, scored, didn't start. Nunez, the sort of talk of the town, only came off the bench later on and then went off again.
That was just for banter, wasn't it? That was just purely a banter pick. And it was like, go on then, Nunez, on you go. Yeah. Make a almost bit of a fool of yourself. Wind some people off and then I'll bring you off again.
It was brilliant. Egerly as well, didn't even get off the bench. Like, you know, they kind of taken the mick, really, in terms of their squad depth. Only made 134 accurate passes, Ipswich, in this game. You know, you think of Ipswich under McKenna, maybe when they went up last time, possession heavy. You know, they'd make 500-600 passes, wouldn't they? But they've found different ways to play this season, and I think full credit for doing that. Another sort of curveball in a way was using Ben Johnson on the right wing, so sort of two fullbacks down that side. So yeah, it was a sort of unusual win for Ipswich stylistically, but an absolutely massive one, wasn't it? And they did have the better chances. They did deserve to win, and they're now unbeaten in 9 and look odds on, don't they, to go up in second place. So yeah, congratulations to Ipswich. That's a great win, even if it was a sort of an ugly one, a lucky pen. What was it, from a long throw, the other goal was nice finish, but you know, little set piece goal there as well. So yeah, well played, Ipswich. I think they're almost there now.
Kieran McKenna said, today felt separate to the league campaign. We had a massive goal to come here and win at a stadium where we haven't for a long time. It's a brilliant memory in our season. Sam, you'll be seeing them live and in living colour tomorrow night as we record down at Pompey. I mean, if they win that, even if they don't lose that, then it would look very, very difficult for them to mess it up from this point, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's a massive game. Yeah, you'd probably say more so for Portsmouth, considering it's that kind of game in hand that's been hanging over them. If they were to get maximum points, that would give them an incredible opportunity of survival. A bit of distance between them and Oxford obviously would be achieved with that. But yeah, I think Clarkey summed up really well there. It's not been, obviously, even if it ends in promotion, it's not been a vintage season. I don't think too many Ipswich fans, because of the recent history, will look back at it really fondly. But they've got a good squad. Greaves keeping out Kipre. I think that's something that jumps off the page to me, because Kipre's been a really good signing. Back five unchanged, I think, for this game. And obviously, Leif Davis coming back in, Johnson keeping his position, obviously, somewhere different in the side. So that was the other interesting thing about it. And tactically, probably has been criticised at times, Kieran McKenna, you know, struggling against, as so many top teams do, low blocks maybe in home games, but playing slightly differently here. You know, counter-attacking really well, defending quite deep, paying the respect to their rivals, especially down Norwich's left, Ipswich's right, where they doubled up on Ahmed and stopped probably what he's done well since coming to the league. So, yeah, different approach, but same result. Getting the job done as they did against Birmingham last time we spoke of them, and enjoyed the needle. Enjoyed everything that comes with a derby. There was plenty of that, and some colossal defensive displays is what you always need. The O'Shea and Greaves, excellent. So yeah, it won't all be decided tomorrow night. Of course, it would go some way to doing so, but when you consider the form of Millwall and Middlesbrough, I think everyone is all in on Ipswich, and rightly so.
Yeah, Ipswich hosts Middlesbrough, don't they, at the weekend. Their running is quite tricky. They've got to go to Charlton, West Brom, who'll still have something to play for, Southampton, and then they finish against QPR, but looking very good for them. Let's head to the bottom of the table then. As we record, lunchtime on Monday morning, there was a post on X from John Percy, the excellent Daily Telegraph journalist, who says West Brom have been charged with an alleged breach of P&S rules. Charge relates to 24-25 season. A points deduction, possibly minor, is very possible. The big question is, will it be applied this season? So that could shake things up massively in terms of the relegation battle. But as it stands, you've got Sheffield Wednesday obviously long gone, Leicester on 41 points, second bottom, Oxford 44, then Pompey just above the line, 45, West Brom 46, Blackburn 48, Charlton 49. We'll start with the ginormous 3 points for Portsmouth, who secured it late on against Middlesbrough in the Gary O'Neill derby at the Riverside, thanks to Connor Chaplin's goal, which reads 90+7 in the match reports. Love this, Sam. This is how you grub a win when you're at the bottom of the table. Their only shot on target of the game, and it wasn't even a shot from the guy who scored it. It was just an effort from somebody else that hit him. He immediately looks at the lino to check that he's not offside. Then he looks again. Then he has a third look because he's convinced that he is. But the goal stands. I mean, it comes after some incredible saves from Nicholas Schmidt. But goodness me, that was a 3 points that they earned the hard way, to put it politely.
Yeah, he earns it. Well, he's owed a debt of gratitude, the goalkeeper. I think Andre Dizel with a brilliant goal line clearance as well, amongst many Middlesbrough chances. Not really presentable ones. Of course, they had, you know, all of the ball and loads of sights of goal, but, you know, nothing really that had to be dispatched. I think there was one that Tommy Conway should have shot with and squared to McGree. He had a couple of attempts, but just a similar theme for Middlesbrough. And I remember Clarkey speaking, I don't know if it was in January, but the amount of chances they create, the amount of good positions they get into, crying out for a really good loan signing, and it didn't appear, did it? And I just think maybe that slight lack in quality in the centre forward position is ultimately going to cost them. And a bit of a lack of flexibility, be at home, you go with the tried and tested setup probably, because they played brilliant, that short, incisive football at times. Remember when they went to Birmingham and played the back three, surprised them, and Matt Target got those couple of goals. I think there's a bit of growing frustration that it's a little bit samey week after week, but I think in truth, the manager's done a pretty steady job. At times they wowed us, not having Hackney and Whittaker for the running. I think that's ultimately what is going to cost them. But yeah, the story here is Portsmouth, and I'm pretty sure that Connor Chaplin's in the studio tomorrow night for the Portsmouth Ipswich game on TV, and I'm kind of a bit hazy with the narrative, but he's ex-Coventry as well, so he did them a favour with the goal. Obviously, Ipswich is his parent club, so he's going to be up against them. Basically, he scored the goal, and Al brilliantly positioned is he to talk about it tomorrow night and everything that's going on at both ends of the table. So yeah, very, very fortunate win. I think my worry for Portsmouth is exactly where the goals were going to come from to accrue the points to stay in the division. Still the case. They're still very much in it. Looks like it's going to go down to the wire, but they found the way at the weekend and the place will be bouncing tomorrow night. And if they can get it right defensively, there's always an opportunity. Someone can come up with a goal, probably from a set piece or maybe a counter-attack. So they'll have to defend in the same manner that they did at the weekend in that fortuitous victory.
Then they got Leicester coming to Fram Park on Saturday. They go to Coventry, it'll be up by then. Then they go to Stoke, finish at Birmingham. Borough-wise, Clarkie, is there any chance that they drop out of the playoffs? I know that sounds sounds a bit fantastical, but they are, what, no wins in six? They're six, 3 points off second, but they've played twice more and the vibes are all wrong.
Yeah, all wrong. No, they'll definitely be in the playoffs, but they're not going to go into it in any kind of form. But then Sunderland didn't go into it in any kind of form last season, did they? So, yeah, I mean, are Hackney and Whittaker done for this season, or is there a chance that they can come back? Because, you know, they desperately need them, don't they? I mean, you looked at the bench, it's just a bit light, wasn't it, on options? Obviously, you started Strelick and Conway, and then if you do that, what have you got to come on? Sarmiento's been a disappointment, hasn't he? That's a loan signing. It wasn't the loan centre-forward signing, but it's a loanee that should have covered Whittaker and come up with some moments, but he hasn't really. I mean, this was just rinse and repeat, wasn't it? It's copy and paste every single week. Middlesbrough have all the ball. They have loads of shots. No one gets in their box. I mean, 38 touches in the box. Pompey had four. I mean, four touches in the box. And they win the scruffy game 1-0. What I noticed here as well was loads of empty seats at the Riverside. You know, this is a team, you know, gunning for top two. And loads of fans aren't turning up to watch it, which is a little bit alarming. I rate Kim Hellberg. I think what he did during that unbelievable purple patch was astonishing in terms of the quality of the football, the style, the swagger, and what he's turned them into is brilliant, but he does need to find another way. He needs to find a plan B desperately. And I do think there'll be regrets in the boardroom that they didn't speculate in January and spend more money, because I think if they had done, if they'd gone in for a front man and got the right one, they'd be top two, because Ipswich aren't amazing. But this is where they find themselves. But well done, Pompey. I mean, they sort of stunk the joint out, killed the game, used up as much time as they could, and then nicked a really sort of ugly winner at the end. But it wasn't ugly to them, was it? So yeah, well played them. They're up against Ipswich. The atmosphere, you can talk about it, that would definitely help, but Ipswich will rotate again, won't they? All those guys that I was talking about, they'll start. So and they've just ran their legs off at the Riverside to get a massive 3 points. Can they go again? I think it's going to be a big ask.
On Hackney and Whittaker, rather vague from Kim Hellberg. He said, I thought he'd be back for the Millwall game, so I still hope and think that before the end of the season he'll be back, but it goes a bit slower than we thought. Whittaker was in contention. They thought he might be able to return on Saturday, so maybe he's more realistic to feature before too long. And now then, a swan can break a person's arm, and it turns out they can shatter Fox's spirits too, after Swansea's 1-0 win at the King Power Stadium saw Leicester booed off amidst howls of "you're not fit to wear the shirt" from the few in the home ends who stayed till the bitter end. Gary Rowett sounds up for it though. He said, "The 10 games I've had here has felt like 40 because the way we've given goals away. That was an incredible goal they gave away on Saturday, Sam. I'm not saying I was laughing at it, but I did spring to mind. Have you seen Roy Keane talking about Ryan Giggs' goal in the 1998 FA Cup semi-final? And he said, just fouled him. Why didn't somebody just foul him? He'd been sent off at that point. And I was watching this and the Swansea player running basically from his own box and thinking, why isn't anybody fouling him? Nobody did. Vipotnik was in. Game over.
Yeah, normally I like to focus in on the attacking play, which I will do in a minute. But yeah, it was alarming, wasn't it? All the way from a set piece gone wrong. I don't mind people being inventive from set pieces. I think it was Harry Winks that they were trying to free up on the edge of the box.
Yeah, Mikasa to Winks, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's all a bit hazy this morning, sorry, but I think he got taken off soon after that, I think, the loanee Mikasa. But yeah, went horribly wrong. Jon with the brilliant run, and Vipotnik, great finish. Let's give him the credit, because the right foot, I mean, after he was defending the near post, I think, and he made it all the way, obviously, to receive the pass from Yeoman, and the finish is a delight. I mean, once he pulls that right leg back, you know it's going to be venomous. So I love the finish, love the run.
Top scorer. I think we all said that at the start of the season.
I know, and like a whole host of Premier League clubs looking at him, and I'm sorry, I don't think he's a great footballer, Nick, but I'd like him standing over penalties and free kicks. And
he's got a hammer right boot, and
he has. I think, you know, if I was him, if I could have my time again, yeah, getting a little bit more involved, probably improving his hold-up play, and then maybe in time he could be a Premier League player. I don't see it right now, but he's a hell of a finisher. So great goal, just a continuation of Leicester City's woes. I'm a little bit loath to go too deep on it because the podcast is only 45 minutes an hour long, but obviously a lot of the anger being directed elsewhere, not at the players, not necessarily at Gary Rowett, but I think one continuing theme, which is correct, is that you've got a group of players that probably weren't anticipating being in a relegation battle and probably don't have the stomach for it either. And I think that probably encapsulates it, the way they ran back, the lack of clean sheets. I think Sheffield Wednesday only fewer in the division, one win in 16. How do they turn it around? Gary Rowett has spoken about, I think, the way that he's going to approach that game at Portsmouth, but it looks right now that it could be, you know, Leicester joining Sheffield Wednesday in a fight between Pompey and Oxford to remain in the division, which I can't believe I'm saying at this juncture, but give them some optimism, Clarkie, because I can't see how they get out of it at the moment, because for so long I felt that they had the players, and they do have the players, they have the quality, so therefore it's a lack of desire, isn't it?
Well, the quote from Gary Rowett was damning. Whether he meant it to come out like this or not, he actually did utter the words. He said, "We have to start fighting like it really matters." That's a direct quote from post-match. I mean, you should have been fine. They got fight like it matters every single week, first and foremost, haven't you, to do anything in professional football. So, yeah, the lack of fight is there, but they've also had a lot of bad luck. I mean, they ran into Sheffield Wednesday. The goalkeeper was unreal, wasn't he? Piers Charles in that game. He made, I think there were 12 shots on target. I think in the previous game, Leicester had battered Preston, just did everything but score. In this game, if you watch the chances they create more than enough to win the game. You know, hit the woodwork. It was an amazing save from the Swansea keeper, Vigouroux, as well. So I do think they've been a bit unlucky, but they're not scoring any scruffy goals. They're not playing streetwise football. Like you said, they should have taken the Yom out on that counter-attack, shouldn't they? That was daft. I mean, the team is ridiculous. You know, I'll take the goalie out, Stolarczyk. I don't think he's got that much pedigree, but Ricardo, Lascelles, Lvestegaard, Thomas, Winks, Skip, Mavididi, Mikasa, Fatawu, Daka, all, you know, have played in the Premier League, haven't they? All of them. Even Mikasa might have done. I mean, he belongs to City. The bench, James, Oyu, Choudhury, Decordova, Reed, Monga, you know, one of the sort of most sought-after young players in the country. They shouldn't be anywhere near the bottom half, let alone the relegation zone, but they are. Can I give you any hope? I mean, yeah, they're creating chances, and they're actually playing against teams now where it matters, so maybe there'll be a bit more to and fro, and that might help them. You know, Pompey, I think a point is really, I mean, they might take a point. I don't think they really want a point. I think they have to play to win. Leicester have to play to win in that game. Maybe that'll open up a bit of space for their match winners, like Fatawu, to go and hurt them, like Jordan James. I personally think Rowett should maybe ditch the wink skip axis and maybe just go with one of them and go with James and Mikasa, you know, or James and Decordova Reed. Just go for broke, because wins now has to be the currency. 3 out of 4, they've got to win. So maybe just go with that, with those two box-to-box attacking midfielders rather than the double pivot. That would be the change I'd make.
So they're 4 points from safety. Their remaining games are the Pompey one we mentioned, home to Hull and Millwall, and then finish at Blackburn. I mean, you've got to hope that the Lord Mayor's show has concluded at Ewood Park before that game happens, and maybe Blackburn are beachbound. But tough one for them. Maybe Swansea, though, set for a decent season next time around under Vitor Matos. And now they're quite the contrast in moods between stadiums whose names begin with K, from Kafkaesque at the King Power to Kudos at the Kassam. Oxford beat Watford 2-0 to maintain their bid for a great escape, whilst probably ending Watford's playoff hopes in the process. Only one defeat in 8, only a point from safety. It's high time we heaped some praise on Matt Bloomfield, Clarkie.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Look, they're doing great. They're showing lots of fight. They're showing the fight that maybe Leicester are missing. What he's done, he's settled on the team. It's a really really settled side now. He kind of messed around a little bit at left back. I think Spencer's in there at the moment, but the rest of the team is kind of set in stone with Konak and Brannigan in midfield doing a really good job. The attacking midfielders, you know, got Per Harris, you got Donnelly in there and Mills, who's had a good season. And Lancashire up front, you're not really changing anything apart from the left back a little bit. So that, I think, is helping. This was a great fixture for them. Watford, not in good nick at the moment. And they had to sort of take advantage, and they did. They didn't have much of the ball. I think only a third of it, 33% of possession. But they created the better chances. Their off-the-ball work was great. So that familiarity of that starting 11, it's really helping them with their off-the-ball work. They sort of, everyone knows their job. The relationships are building. And I noticed in this game that you know, the shape was good. They made 19 interceptions to Watford 6. That, I always think that is a sign of good shape when you have that many sort of turnovers. They also pressed well. They regained the ball 8 times inside the final third, which is a lot. So yeah, look, Watford, ragged at the moment. Away form's a bit stinky. I didn't think that they looked very together as a team. The body language was quite bad among the Watford players in this match. So yeah, well done Oxford for taking full advantage. And you'd have to say, out of those three that we've been talking around, presuming West Brom and Blackburn will just sort of grind out enough nil-nils to survive, you'd have to say at the moment, Oxford are the ones that are playing better than Leicester and Pompey. So and Bloomfield deserves loads of praise.
Sam, I was going to ask you if Ed's still on, just because I wanted to get that in. But instead of that, I'm going to make you say something nice about Oxford. I'm afraid they're away at Derby on Saturday, home to Wrexham and Sheffield Wednesday. They finish at Millwall, so probably thinking, what, you'd need 4 or 5 points maybe from those games to stay up? Would you back them to do it, or are your loyalties with Portsmouth?
No loyalties here, mate. I think they probably need a bit more than that. I think that West Brom probably have the best running, and shortly, closely followed by Oxford. And I think Pompey and Leicester have probably got the toughest games. That's my opinion. Although Oxford go to Derby next time out. But yeah, I totally agree with what Clarkey said there. And obviously, we were both there for the Good Friday draw against Hull. I think he's actually given the forward players a little bit more confidence, Mills and Pert Harris and Donnelly. I think that's a decent trio. They seem to come alive, and the structure of the team without the ball is very good. And that consistency, I think, has been key with the lineup. From Saturday, the only other note I made was Mark Harris. What a goal.
Yeah, great goal. And
what an important goal for him, because we've been there twice now, me and Clarkey side by side, and he's been getting pelters, yeah. I think. And he's not scored for love nor money for country or club for an eternity, it feels like. So that was a massive goal, beautifully taken. And maybe just playing slightly off Lancashire does you a bit of good, that you're not kind of in the firing line, although he was when he missed that sitter against Hull last time out. But yeah, I thought that was a massive goal for him. And they'll be really buoyant. They'll be disappointed by, obviously, the way the league table looked at the end of play. But a really good victory for them. And yeah, if they can get through Derby with something, I fancy them at home against Wrexham and Sheffield Wednesday, the form that they're in, definitely.
Harris, by the way, hasn't played 90 minutes in club football in more than a year. So maybe that's a caveat for him. It was his first goal.
Let's not let him off because of, let's say that Ed Steele's probably happy that there's so much going on in the league at the moment that nobody's really talking about him. But internally at Watford, he could probably do, as we know, with a few better performances before the end of the season. I saw a couple of videos of a very disgruntled away end at the Kassam at the weekend. But as Clarkey alluded to there, great individuals. It's getting them collectively playing as a unit, because they should be capable of that. So if he is there, which I hope he is, and anticipate him being, it's going to be a big summer to get them in the proper nick to challenge next year, because they should be up there.
I wonder if a manager's ever got the Spanish Archer and then been replaced by their brother. There's probably an example of it having happened somewhere, but we'll put a pin in that and wait if indeed it does happen. Next today, we're off to Wembley, where it was the Hatters versus the Hatters on Sunday. So something had to give. In the end, it was Luton who beat Stockport by 3-1 to give them a boost after a rough couple of years, and hand Jack Wilshere his first piece of silverware in the process. It's the last time we'll talk about the Football League trophy on this pod until next year's final. Sam, as a former winner with Luton, are you annoyed that the class of 2026 have stolen your thunder?
No, not at all. No, I enjoyed seeing all the pictures today, all the stuff on the Luton Twitter. Big Mick on the pitch, hands on the trophy alongside Jack Wilshire, he was obviously my manager when we lifted it. And I was sorry I couldn't be there. I had the invite, but I was working yesterday and one or two bits going on pre-wedding as well. So yeah, shame I couldn't be there, but yeah, brought back really happy memories for me. And I heard that a few of my former teammates were in attendance, which was great. And it looked like the right team won. Absolutely. I think certainly more shots, more presentable opportunities, owed something to the goalkeeper, who was a little bit surprised that Shea got the nod, but what a save he made from a wonderful Stokes header at a vital stage in the game. And I just thought, listen, the best moment, the memory for the supporters will probably be that Naki Wells touch and finish. That was the quality moment in the match, but lovely way to cement it, I think, by him getting in that second just as it tiptoed into additional time. That's such a relief for players and supporters alike when you get that cushion of a two-goal lead so late in the day. That just diminishes any kind of concern you've got that you're going to ship a late equaliser. So, yeah, I thought it was a strong Luton performance. Both teams actually, Stockport maybe in more regard, going in good form. I think they were 5 unbeaten. They'd beaten AFC Wimbledon and Wickham handsomely, so they were in good form. We know they've got top players, Stockport. So really fine performance from Luton. And as Jack Wilshire said straight after the his speech at full-time, hopefully it can inspire them to go on in the league and maybe creep in. But it's going to be difficult, and I think it's been a pretty average season. He's not been immune to some criticism from the home fans, but this will hopefully win them over. And I've been impressed when I've seen them under him, and I think time is the important thing here, which Jack Wilshere needs, because that team has been through a lot of hurt, I think, across the last couple of seasons.
Got to say, I thought Naki Wells struggled a bit with both of his celebrations. Like, first one, he was thinking of doing Shearer, then he kind of didn't really know where he was going, and then he really found it difficult to whip his shirt off for the second. For such an experienced striker, I thought that was disappointing. Sam sort of teed me up there, Cluggy. I was going to say about the potential impact for Luton on the season going forwards. They're 6 points off the playoffs. They do have a game in hand and 2 games in hand, in fact, on Reading, on a few of the teams around them. Is this more about cementing Wilshire's position ahead of next season than maybe gate crushing the playoffs? Or do you think it is realistic that they could make that end of season shake up and maybe be back at Wembley again next month?
Well, they've got to rely on Stevenage to sort of muck up, really, haven't they? And Stevenage have done great, haven't they, to sort of force their way back into the picture. So that, look, I think they're going to finish the season strong. I think their game in hand is at home to Northampton, so you would expect them to win that. And they've got, now if you include this win, it's 5 wins and a draw in their last 6. So they're absolutely flying. It was a deserved victory. Some great moments. I did enjoy the Ozil finish from Sidibe, the Stockport player, deliberately bouncing it over the keeper. That was top quality. But yeah, no, I was pleased for Wilshere. Pleased for Luton because they've got nice people that work there. But it has got to be the first time, hasn't it, that anyone's lifted a trophy at Wembley, having been knocked out in the round of 16. It's got to be, hasn't it? I mean, that's the story, really, isn't it? You know, they were out.
I was there. I saw them get knocked out, and I was across the disputed team sheet. I was 10 yards from it when they was having a natter. I broke off from the broadcast to go and see what was going on.
So yeah, look, talk about, yeah, you know, take advantage of a bit of dodgy admin. No one's ever done it better than this Luton team. So well played to them. Congratulations. But yeah, no, I think what it does as well, it gives the players a lot more trust in Wilshere. It gives the board trust in Wilshere that when those big games come around, that he can come up with the right team, the right tactics to get the job done. So yeah, and that Wales celebration as well. What was the point in taking your shirt off? I mean, you look a bit silly with the sort of bra on, don't they? You know, if you didn't have that on, it's fine. But the sort of the vest, for me, spoils the aesthetics of the shirt removal.
It's a great occasion, but it's probably not the magnitude of what I always kind of dreamt of, was like scoring a late goal, maybe in a showpiece final, maybe your last game, and just running off the tunnel, never to return. Kind of, we're in that kind of period, aren't we? You know, it was what, 3 minutes to go, 3-1 to the good. He could have just taken the shirt off and not come back, couldn't he?
That would have been lovely. They're both in action then on Wednesday. Stockport at Wimbledon, Luton against Northampton. Speaking of Wimbledon, well, Sam likes calling Burton Terry, and he likes Wimbledon because his mate's the manager. He probably didn't like Burton beating Wimbledon, the Dons getting dragged into the relegation conversation. I enjoyed the fact that the scoreboard read Brewers and Wombles. It was a really soft goal to concede, though, Sam, wasn't it? Long throw, flicked on, second headers in. Well, what's happened to Wimbledon? This has passed me by. They're a place in 3 points above the relegation zone.
Yeah, well, I don't think that we would have envisaged this when they won those two back-to-back games, obviously, end of March. So you have to say that there'd been a bit of complacency from the players. And yeah, I certainly would have been in dressing rooms when you're up against it at the wrong end of the table and you feel like you've accrued enough points to remain in the division. I actually remember it happening in Scotland when we had a cup final to prepare for as well and took our eye off the ball in the league kind of post-split, and we very nearly got relegated at St Mirren. So it was a real relief when results went for us. But I would imagine it's partly that when you think you're safe, all of a sudden you take your foot slightly off the gas. Tough games as well, away from home in the infancy of this bad run, which has not helped. But the main thing is the injuries. I mean, it's been catastrophic the last couple of months. Still no Stevens, Bougill, Hippolyte. But even more worryingly, when you're just trying to get those really important points to get you over the line, no Johnson, Bauer or Joe Lewis at the weekend, which has crept up on me. So that's arguably, you know, well, that's certainly two of your three central defenders, real goal power missing as well. So it's patched up. Tilly did come on at the weekend. I think he's the one that was beaten actually for Loftus's winner on the far post. And Brown did start. So they've had a couple that have come back, big players for them. So you would hope with, I think, three out of the four remaining at home, they can get the points to get it done. But they're absolutely banging trouble all of a sudden. And it wasn't a game for the purists. It looked like they had to actually defend quite a number of Charlie Webster dead balls, and Burton are right up there in terms of set-piece goals. I think only five have scored more set-pieces than them, and they've got a pretty good front two as well in Shade and Beasley, who I think played well without really threatening the goal. So they've had that in their armoury, I think, the last 6 months. Quite a potent strike pairing for the level. So a massive victory for them, but yeah, worrying times for Wimbledon. And I think they finish with Huddersfield, Stockport and Plymouth.
Wigan up as well.
Wigan away. So yeah, desperate for that home win just to alleviate the pressure.
Terry, meanwhile, Clarkey, been here before, haven't they? Only got three games left, but they got a 4-point buffer. It was a great escape last season. They've been a little bit closer to safety for most of this campaign. But the fact that they know how the road lies in this particular journey has got to be to their advantage, hasn't it?
Yeah, one more win and I think they'll be fine. They can tough it out, can't they? They're well, they'll be like Oxford, aren't they? You know, good structure, efficient, probably, got a bit more punch up top than the team I just mentioned. But yeah, look, they play the percentages very, very well. Gary Bowyer, what a great appointment he's been. You know, it's they're not really supposed to be in the third tier of English football, Burton Albion. So full credit to them. You know, they had 12 shots to Wimbledon's 5. You know, they had the better chances, most of them from set pieces, from Webster, as Sam rightly pointed out. He's a pretty good technician, isn't he? So, yeah, look, this was an ugly game. Passing stats were terrible, but it was all about the result. And, I think Burton are probably one win away now from survival.
In League Two, Books, yeah. I know Easter was last weekend, but it looks like everything's coming up Christian at Newport just now. The Exiles beat Harrogate 2-1 at Rodney Parade in a crunch clash in the battle to remain an EFL concern next season. What a winner from Joe Thomas, Sam, here. His first goal of the season. It came after Ellis Taylor had missed a great chance for Harrogate at 1-1. But what a big victory this is. 4-point gap with three to play. It's not much, but it means that their fate is in their own hands.
Yeah, I'm not precious over statistics, but I really hope Clarkey hasn't spotted this, because this is gold. This is absolute gold, right?
I think Thomas, I might have done. Oh, go on.
Thomas, beauty of a goal, right? Yeah, unbelievable. Cut across it. Lovely. Okay, he's played 27 games, 27 appearances, 13 starts, 1,392 minutes. That's his first shot of the season.
No, I didn't know that.
I had a little flick about on who scored this morning, and I was like, I thought there was a little glitch in the system, so I've had to check on a few different websites. That's his first shot. That's tremendous, isn't it?
Top bins, yeah.
Yeah, great goal. Massive game, massive six-pointer. And it sounded like Newport were much faster out the traps. Simon Weaver bemoaning the start of his team and feeling sorry for the punters that had made it all the way down to Wales. So I love the first goal as well. It was a terrible mistake from Cathal Heffernan, but it was a lovely pass and Opoku finished it really well. And that was probably the most noticeable thing, Opoku and James Kroll, who is the lad that scored a lot of goals in the League of Wales, I believe, who's kind of been in and out at a few minutes off the bench, but he set the ball back for Thomas's winner. Going to 3-5-2 and playing those two in tandem seemed to be a wise decision. He's chopped and changed, I think, the personnel and the shape, but for this game it paid off in a big way, and despite obviously a massive upturn, I think, at Harrogate over the last kind of 15 games, it's looking increasingly like they're going to be playing non-league football next season. I would say, looking at the fixtures, that Crawley are probably going to be okay. They've got Shrewsbury next up. They obviously got those vital back-to-back wins. Their fixtures have been pretty kind. So I'm kind of reading it as 1 from 3. Tranmere, Barrow, Newport. Newport at Barrow, final day. So I think that's kind of got to be in the back of the Newport players' mind. Keep producing decent level of performance, get the points to put them in a position to maybe relegate Barrow on final day.
Yeah, Tranmere, Crawley, Newport all 37. Barrow and Harrogate have 33. Are you with Sam then, Adrian? There's Barrow and Harrogate, the current occupants of those drop zone places, who'll be there come the end of the 46th game.
Well, yeah, it looks like Harrogate are gone. No, they're not gone, but you wouldn't give them much chance from here. I kind of think that the three teams that you just talked about are one win away, really. To get to 40 might just see off the bottom two. Depends what happens in Barrow's game in hand at home to Oldham. Oldham, I think they had a bad result at the weekend. Had been in pretty good form, so it's not an easy game for Barrow. If Barrow win, then it draws the lot of them in, doesn't it? If Barrow get beat by Oldham, then you'd say that the bottom two are there. So, yeah, credit Fuchs here for the change of formation. Obviously, tactically got it right. Not a great watch, I don't think, even though the goals were good. All three goals were really good. What about this? Both teams made under 150 accurate passes, which is shocking. Like, normally you're talking 200-300 minimum accurate passes in the game. Pass accuracy, Newport, 48%. I mean, Premier League teams mainly get between 80 and 90%. Harrogate, 54%. And the percentage of passes that were long, Newport, 30% of their passes were long. Harrogate, 35. So this was a boom it kind of game. Play for the second balls. Proper scrappy battle. But Newport did deserve it. So well done.
Yeah, well done to them. And Christian Fuchs looking like an inspired appointment. Right then, we are wrapping things up shortly. Let me remind you again of that offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+, and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Now, if you'd like to leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, we would appreciate it. It all helps us grow the show. If you're a regular, you know that this is the point where we do our predictions for the upcoming games. Not a vintage week last time out, is fair to say. Sam got 2 points. Adrian got 1 point. I didn't get any points. So it's not done much to the title race, but extend Sam's lead ever so slightly, Adrian.
Well, I'm in front, but yeah, I find...
Of course, how could I possibly forget?
I'm 5 in front of Sam. So look to be fair, I've not won it. I've not won this. I think Sam can... He hasn't been ahead of me all season, but I'm worried he could do a Man City on me. So yeah, I need a good week.
Sorry, that was quite triggering for you, wasn't it? Let's see how you get on this week then. I'll let you go first. Blackburn, Coventry, Friday night. What's going to happen?
Cover win this one, surely. Blackburn at home. Don't have a good record, don't score very many goals. Massive away following. They're going to fill that in, aren't they, at Ewood Park. 7,500 Sky Blues fans, minimum. Blackburn 0, Coventry 2. They're going to win the title.
You can hear the commentary, can't you? They are planting their flag in the Premier League pitch and they are going up in style. I'm going even bigger. I'm going 0-4. Sam?
Before looking at the table, I thought Blackburn might get something here. I just think, like,
ooh,
This is product of what I witnessed Saturday lunchtime, isn't it? Do you know what? I'm going to go for it. I think 1-1. Blackburn still need a few points, don't they? And Coventry are going to win the title and maybe like a second half equaliser in front of the away support and, you know, gets that kind of rapturous celebration that they will crave, but maybe not all 3 points.
It might be nighttime, but the sky is blue over Lancashire this evening.
I know the commentator that you're impersonating there, and it's not bad.
I'll play the clip in next week if it's actually done. Barnsley Bradford, the League One offering. What do you reckon, Sam?
Barnsley Bradford. Give me 30 seconds. Barnsley Bradford.
Bradford rubbish away, but it's not a long trip. There you go. That'd be my house.
Thanks, mate. Fancy another draw here. Barnsley are done, aren't they? So, no. 0-1.
That's what I was going to go with. Let's go with 1-2 then for me. What do you reckon, Adrian?
I had 1-2. let's give Barnsley a squeak. Barnsley 1, Bradford 1.
Okay. And last up from League 2, I have selected Notts County against Barnet. Barnet trying to get into the playoffs. Notts don't want to be there. Thumped at Cambridge they were on Saturday, 4-0. I'm picking them to bounce back here and just edge out Barnet in a 2-1 success. What about you, Adrian?
Well, I had 2-1 written down here. Let's go even bigger. I see goals. These are two teams that are involved in a lot of exciting matches. This could be another. Notts County 3, Barnet 2.
Oof. Sam, goal fest for you at Meadow Lane?
Yeah, I would have had the 3-2 probably, actually, which would have been a reverse of Barnet's result at the weekend. So I'll have them 2-2. I think Cambridge flexed their muscles at the weekend to have maybe just tiptoed ahead of Notts County in my mind for that third automatic position. 2-2. County to drop points.
Okay. We'll let you know how we get on with those next week. Before we go, tweet of the week time. It comes from Jackson Smith of Grimsby Town, who, as is the style of the time, is quote tweeting the official account, who said, Dave Artell's black and white army, all caps, 2 exclamation marks, fish emoji, hashtag GTFC, this after their 3-2 win against Crewe at the weekend. Jackson says, see you Tuesday, Mariners. 5 big games to go. Black circle emoji, white circle emoji, at official GTFC. It's pretty run-of-the-mill stuff, this, Clarky. The thing that confused me was he's quote-tweeting the club account, but he's tagged them in as well. That's a little bit careless.
It is careless. For me, it's the lack of the comma that I have an issue with. See you Tuesday, comma, Mariners. Because Tuesday Mariners sounds like a little bit of a club, doesn't it? A little Tuesday club for maybe some Grimsby supporters down to the local sort of...
I was thinking you'd have done that in your Arsenal days. Let's have a Mariners day at Tuesday club this week. We'll all dress up as fishermen and get bladdered.
Tuesday Mariners. Or dress up as the brilliant Paul Mariner. But look, he's gone for it. Fair play. And look, it was a good win, wasn't it? 3-2 at home to Crewe. Keeps them in the mix, doesn't it? And not many replies, just the one. Gets a ticket, Jacko lad, from Jam GTFC. So didn't get the traction, maybe, that he was looking for.
He's got form, though, hasn't he, Sam? Earlier in the month, travelling support was amazing today. Hope the long journey was worth it, Mariners. Another clean sheet, glove emoji, black circle emoji, white circle emoji, and he's tagged the club account in again, even though he's quote-tweeting them. I mean, if you're not into it, that's fine. Your life is probably better for not being into social media, but don't half-ass it, which is my concern here.
I thought I was going to be redundant today after last week's faux pas, but you've brought me in. In the last knock-ins, all I will say, there's not a lot for me to go on here. Don't love it. But if you have got the ability to use one of the best emojis, the fish, then you use it, my boy.
Yeah.
Maybe a fishing rod as well. I mean, that's personal taste, I suppose. But nonetheless, work to do to improve your Twitter.
I think you redeemed yourself there, Sam. Yeah, it's a good shout. Yeah.
Grimsby, maybe they can redeem there.
Yeah, I did think it was a Dunfermline Athletic player.
Nice. Who's your favourite Mariner, Paul or Andre? It's got to be Paul, hasn't it, I suppose. Can't think of any others. Right, I think that's where we'll leave it for today. Thanks to Adrian and Sam as ever for their expertise and you for joining us as well. We'll be back with another show next week. For now, though, from the three of us, it's bye-bye.